the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission issued a $40 million fine to Texas-based Energy Transfer for a drilling mud spill in the eastern part of the state in 2017. The spill was connected to the company's Rover pipeline, which carries natural gas liquids from Pennsylvania and Ohio to Canada. According to FERC, as the agency is called, the spill revealed a corporate culture that favored speed over compliance. New details about the spill were first reported by Mike Sorahan of E&E News recently, and he joins me now to talk about it. Mike, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, so the fine was issued late last year, but you've been able to uncover details about the spill recently. Tell us about the spill and what caused it.
The spill was a spill of a couple million gallons of this thick stuff called drilling mud, which on its own is not good, but it's not toxic in and of itself. But the crew had been adding diesel fuel, which is kind of a cheat when you're drilling to ease things, ease the drill bit when things are stuck, you know, kind of, I guess, maybe pouring like a little WD-40 in there. But it being diesel fuel, which is toxic, presents a problem. You're just not supposed to put diesel fuel in the stuff you're pumping underground. But what had happened prior to that was when you're drilling under a river or when you're drilling a pipeline, you use drilling mud, and it's supposed to circulate through. It carries the stuff that you're drilling out, cools the drill bit and things like that. But it's supposed to circulate back out. And in this case, it was not circulating back out, which means it's going somewhere. It's called an inadvertent return or a frack out. You're not supposed to ignore it and let it go for a month. And you're not supposed to put diesel fuel in it. So what winds up happening is, it either stays in the ground where it can contaminate groundwater and turn it brown, or it spurts out somewhere. And the allegation is that this crew is just kind of being inattentive and using a cheat.
And how long did the spill go on for? Do we know?
They were not getting returns, which means it was not coming back for a month. We don't really know where it was going. When someone finally found it, the amount of mud, they had a third-party expert come in and estimated that it had been pumping out of the ground, spurting out of the ground in that location for 3 or 4 days. And that was another flaw, was that they should have had, that FERC found, that they should have had more inspectors going out and looking. Especially when you know that you're pumping stuff underground is not coming back.
So the stuff that was coming out of the ground was technically sort of like this mud. What's so bad about it?
It's bentonite mixed with water. It's clay. On its own, it isn't a big deal. I mean, you're not supposed to, you're supposed to be careful with it. If a little bit comes spurting out in, middle of nowhere, it's not that bad. If it gets into a stream, it can kill fish, smother plants and animals and fish and things like that. That in itself is not toxic. But when you introduce diesel fuel, that is more toxic, and it's dangerous for people to be breathing that in, depending on, how much is in. This wasn't a populated area, so the damage that it did was more to, it's a wetland, so it's more smothering fish and other critters. And diesel fuel just adds a level of toxicity that kills more wildlife, and presumably in this case, didn't come into that much contact with people outside of the workers who were eventually there and probably could have had protective stuff.
So what does FERC conclude in this report about, the culpability, like who was responsible ultimately for this spill?
The FERC staff, the FERC enforcement staff, their investigation concluded that there was a corporate culture here that said the speed justifies the means, that it was all about getting the pipeline done, and compliance was, pretty much an afterthought. And that raises, questions. If we're only getting to this 4 years afterward, what can FERC do with an applicant and a pipeline company, an oil company that treats compliance as an afterthought. And critics are saying, you know, this $40 million on a multi-billion dollar pipeline that's already brought in more than $1 billion before a fine is even proposed, that's a cost of doing business.
Our listeners in Pennsylvania know this company, Energy Transfer, because it's the parent company of the Mariner East pipeline, which is subject of actual criminal investigation by the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, over $20 million in fines, and also the Revolution pipeline, which exploded near Pittsburgh in Beaver County about a week after it was first put in service a few years ago. How has the company responded to these charges?
Their main point is they're not denying that diesel wound up in the drilling mud, although they did originally. They're not saying that that's okay. They're just saying that it was a contractor that did it, and they can't be held liable for that. That the contractor should be held liable. The problem is FERC does not have jurisdiction over those contractors. It has jurisdiction over its permit holder, its applicant.
FERC is the federal agency in charge of regulating natural gas pipelines. Tell us what the agency does and how it's changed under the current administration, under its new chairman, Richard Glick, who was appointed by Biden.
The FERC is in the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and they are charged with helping private industry build the infrastructure that is needed to deliver electricity and natural gas. The current chairman has been a significant change, changing the chairmanship from Republican to Democrat when Trump left office and Biden came in was a big change. Environmental groups and others have been pushing for a long time for FERC to take into consideration climate change. And so when Glick came in, he started working on a policy that says we are going to look at the implications, the environmental implications, the greenhouse gas and climate implications of pipelines. And that has been very controversial. He also has said that FERC needs to take a much closer, more critical look at whether projects are needed before they grant this permission, which includes taking people's land.
All right. Well, Mike Sorahan of E&E News, thanks so much for talking with us about this.
Thanks for having me.